Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual. And this is the Shame-Free Zone. I'm your host, Veronica Monet. Welcome once again to a very shame-busting show. We're going to be talking about something that a lot of people don't think even applies to them, or maybe it's a well-kept secret. I certainly thought that this was something that was age-related. Turns out incontinence affects about 1 in 4 women, and we're talking about 1 in 4 college students. I mean, who knew? I certainly did not know this. So we've got an expert here, and she's calling us all the way from Australia. Her name is Mary O'Dwyer, and she is a pelvic floor physiotherapist. She's trained at the universities of Queensland and Melbourne, Australia. She's currently a senior teaching fellow at Bond University, and she has over 30 years of clinical and teaching experience. Thousands of women have shared their stories of pelvic failure and pain. And through education and physical retraining, these women have been liberated from their pelvic floor problems and given a new lease on life. And on life, I'm sorry. So Mary O'Dwyer actually wrote something called Hold It, Sister. That's kind of cute. Mary, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. It's lovely to be chatting with you this morning.
What time is it there in Australia?
Well, it's at 10 o'clock Sunday morning.
Oh, well, that is a decent time.
It's very nice.
So, how did you get interested in female incontinence? I'm curious.
Well, as a physical therapist, I've always treated spinal problems and joint problems, and over the years, women would, particularly with spinal problems, would say to me, "Do you have any exercises for the bladder?" And I would say, "Oh, no, you have to go and see somebody else for that." And so I started having my own babies. I've got 3 children, and they're all grown up and left home now. And I realized, this is crazy. I'm a physical therapist, and I don't know about this area of my body. So that's when I started learning more and going to courses, and then eventually I went back and did some postgraduate work at university. And then I found what an incredible difference this makes to women's lives, because it's not just incontinence is the problem, and there is a very high association of incontinence and low back pain. They go together. But it's pelvic organ prolapse for women, which is actually where something is falling down and bulging out externally. But there's problems in young women, young athletes who are incontinent. There's a very high rate of incontinence in female elite athletes, and also young women who can't literally have intercourse because they have so much pain with their pelvic floor muscles. So there are huge issues around this area of the body, and the reason I love it and I'm passionate about it is because it has been somewhat neglected and kept secret, and it's time for women to start learning about this area of their body so they can pass this information along to their daughters, and they, in turn, don't grow up in ignorance about their pelvic floor.
Well, now, what is the pain? You know, I'm not actually aware of, I've never experienced incontinence or pelvic pain, so can, you know, for people like myself who may be in the dark on this one, can you,
You're one of the lucky blessed ones, Veronica.
Apparently. So is it childbirth that starts these problems, or are some women just born with it? Or, I mean, so 1 in 4 female college students, that really got my attention. What is this about?
Yeah. And see, these young women haven't had children, and also there's over 40% of elite female athletes have
Wow. Sexual
urge incontinence as well. The problem is that when we jump, when we cough, when we lift, a lot of pressure is built up inside the abdomen, and that pressure is pushed directly down onto those under, those pelvic floor muscles. Now, if those muscles are too weak or too tight, or a third one, not coordinated with the abdominal muscles, then that's very likely to lead to problems. See, there's no one pelvic floor that it doesn't work the same in women. I've identified three different types. One is where the muscle is really weak and it's sagging, and I think we can easily understand that. Think of it like the pelvic floor sits in the basement instead of sitting up at the first floor of the house. And then you have women whose pelvic floor muscles are too tight. And this can be from the fact that they're incredibly stressed or anxious and they don't realize that they've got those muscles locked on all the time. Or they might be very fearful or have suffered abuse. There's a very high rate of tight pelvic floor muscles with women who've been abused. And then there are the women.
Women who have been abused?
I'm talking sexually abused.
Oh, sexually abused? Oh, my God.
Yes. There's a high research correlation with sexual abuse and pelvic floor problems.
Oh, my God.
You can imagine.
No wonder you've got one in four. Because one in four females is sexually abused as a child.
Yeah.
So that correlates with the same statistic. One in four female college co-eds have incontinence problems.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
If you were abused, then there's such a link with the mind and the body. What happens in the mind registers in the body. So these girls don't even realize they're walking around with their muscles kind of locked on, guarded all the time, and too tight. So that's quite an issue. And it's obviously a very sensitive area of the body to treat, because there are a lot of emotions that come out in women once you start to teach them about this part of their body. But there is a third really interesting type of pelvic floor problem, and this belongs to the women whose pelvic floor muscles don't coordinate with their tummy muscles. And you're probably thinking, what's she talking about? Well, if you ever see women who really tightly suck their waist in and they have a big crease at their waist, those women are very likely to have pelvic floor problems, because the research shows us that these women, when they lift up their pelvic floor muscles, instead they switch on their tight waist muscles first, before the pelvic floor, and switching on the tight waist muscles builds up more pressure inside the tummy, and the pelvic floor can't lift up and hold against it. So it's a fascinating area of the body to treat, and that's why a woman, to get effective treatment, needs to get the right diagnosis of what muscle problem is affecting her as well.
Right.
Because if someone came to me with pelvic floor muscles that were too tight, if I gave her strength muscles, that would be the worst, strength exercises to do.
Right.
That would be the worst possible thing, because I'd send her muscles into more spasm and she'd get more pain. So it's quite a difficult area of the body to treat, and I think that's why, there's been so many myths about it, and people don't understand, and they say pelvic floor exercises don't work. Well, it's probably because they haven't been diagnosed correctly as their problem.
I see that you have got an endorsement from Dr. Christine Northrup.
Oh, yes.
She says every woman needs to know what's in this book.
Yes, well, she's really, as everyone knows from hearing her on Oprah, Dr. Christiane is really passionate about pelvic floor exercises, and she's a wonderful supporter of physical therapists and the work that we do, because being a women's health doctor, she fully understands the problems that women have.
That's just really great to have an endorsement from her. But can we back up just a little bit? And I'm thinking the listeners would really probably, we need to help them, kind of basically self-diagnose here. Are they suffering from any kind of pelvic floor problems, what kind of symptoms should they look for? When you talk about pelvic floor pain, as a matter of fact, you know, I'm wondering, what kind of pain are you talking about?
Well, if this can be pain from, you know, if you have a really tight muscle in your neck or shoulder and you get this really horrible aching pain in it, it's called a trigger point in the muscle. Well, if you walk around with muscles too tight all the time, and this applies to the internal muscles in your pelvic floor, they can develop trigger points in the muscle. And those internal muscles inside our pelvic floor, when they get a trigger point, they can send pain to somewhere else, like the lower abdomen or the inner thighs or anywhere in the pelvis. But there are also pain syndromes that can develop in the pelvic floor. Sometimes a nerve.
Well, can we define, you know, you're speaking from the premise that people would even know what their pelvic floor is. So can we back up a little bit and just talk about where is the pelvic floor, and if I did have pain in my pelvic floor, where would it be?
Okay. Well, if your listeners can do some self-discovery here. First of all, the pubic bone, which is in the low down in the pelvis and the front, it's that hard bone at the top of your legs. The pelvic floor muscles attach at the back of that bone. They run under the body and attach into the coccyx, which is right down the very base of the spine.
Okay.
And if you put your hands under your sitting bones while you're sitting, the pelvic floor muscles span out to those sitting bones. And its pelvic floor is really like a trampoline bowl of muscle. And the opening for the urethra, where the urine comes out, runs through the muscle. The opening, the vaginal opening, runs through it, or the muscles run around it. And the same for the bowel. So these muscles are essential for our continence because when we tighten them, they close off the sphincters. And they're essential when we lift to tighten and hold, to hold our organs up so they don't fall down. And they're essential for actually our spinal stability because the pelvic floor muscle is really just the underpart of our core muscles. And I think most people have heard about our core muscles, which is the like an inner abdominal cylinder. And when the pelvic floor muscle tightens and lifts, automatically the rest of the core muscles tighten too, the deep abdominal and the spinal ones. So this whole internal unit has to work effectively. Now, as to where a woman would feel pain, the pain can come from many causes. It can be from she can have a back problem and she can get referred pain to the pelvic floor, that underneath area. She could have fallen onto her buttocks and damaged her coccyx, and she would have a lot of localized pain around the coccyx. There could be adhesions from adhesions from a cesarean section where the abdomen is cut, and sometimes the uterus can get adhesions on it and tilt forward because it's cut open. There's also pain from adhesions from pelvic surgery as well, but also the pain from those trigger points. So the pain can be localized or it can be very diffuse and kind of spread out. And, you know, you're wondering, well, what causes this pain? And you don't quite understand.
Let me just ask you a few questions. If you had pelvic floor pain, pelvic floor pain, boy, try to say that one fast. If you have pelvic floor pain, would it feel like you had pain behind your pubic bone, or would it feel like you had pain inside your vagina, or would you experience pain only when you were having intercourse, or would you experience pain when you were just sitting in front of a computer? Can you give us some examples?
Yes. What all of those things that you said, it can be one of those or it can be all of those. Trigger points can give you internal vaginal pain. They can refer pain to above the pubic bone. They can even give you a sensation of urgency in your bladder. You could have deep rectal pain, if your bowel isn't supported by the pelvic muscles, if it's kind of prolapsing down. The pain with intercourse is literally right away with intercourse because the muscles are so tight, they really will not expand and open. So, you know, it could be any of those ones you described, or it could be all of them. And if a woman has a condition called vulvodynia, which the vulva is the outer part of the vagina, and the condition of vulvodynia is a very painful one, and she has pain whether she's sitting down or standing or moving around. So it's a little bit like, you know, how long's a piece of string sometimes to answer that question.
Well, then do you associate vulvodynia, then that would be a type of pelvic floor pain?
Absolutely.
Okay. What about something like vaginismus? Would that be considered pelvic floor? Huh?
Yes. Vaginismus is where the muscles are locked on too tight. That is literally the too tight muscles.
Right, and insertion creates kind of a spasm, a painful spasm, right?
Oh, absolutely. They just cannot tolerate it. And you can imagine what that does for an intimate relationship. It's
so,
very difficult.
So what, okay, so I've gotten a little bit of idea, and let me see if I understand you correctly. If you've got pelvic floor distress, this can also reverberate to other parts of the body?
If you've got trigger points in the pelvic floor muscles, trigger points are notorious for referring pain somewhere else in the body. For instance, I have a client who has a severe trigger point on the outside of her lower leg. And when we put pressure on that trigger point, she gets a light painful sensation up to the side of her chest. Because you've just got to think of your nervous system in your body as being like a big electrical circuit. And what affects one part can have interconnections and produce pain into another part. So typically the women that I treat and when I work on internally and release trigger points in pelvic floor muscles, these women have pain that's been referring to their bladder, to their lower abdomen, and to their inner thighs, and they get relief of those symptoms.
Inner thighs. So now what is that, like aching or just muscles that are kind of spasming or what?
Yes, it just feels like an aching. Now, referred pain, if the source of the pain was deep in the vaginal muscles and the pain was going to, say, the lower tummy, when you push on the tummy, there's not actually pain because the source of it is somewhere else. The pain can be felt in one area, but when you push there, they don't have the sensation of pain there. But when I palpate the trigger point internally, the pain then will return in the lower tummy. Does that make sense?
Well, kind of. I mean, I have to tell you, this is all very, very new stuff. Do you find that people immediately identify with this, or do you find that it takes some explaining?
Well, I do a lot of education with my clients, but because I identify their symptoms, identify their pain, they click onto it really quickly. Absolutely. Because I think they're just glad to find someone who understands and knows how to treat their symptoms.
Yeah.
Because often these women have been struggling for many years to find someone. And in the States, if any of your listeners do have pelvic floor problems or pelvic floor pain, it's simply a matter of going online to the American Physical Therapy Association, and they will be able to find a women's health physical therapist who does specialize in the treatment of these problems.
Okay. And they want to look specifically for somebody with your credentials, a pelvic floor physiotherapist?
Yes. They're probably in the States called women's health physical therapists.
And if they want to get a hold of your book, Hold It Sister, how can they get a hold of that?
Hold It Sister, Veronica, is available on Amazon at the moment. So it's just as simple as going online. That's probably a lot cheaper than buying it through my sites, because we have to send it from Australia.
I know. The same thing for me. I cannot match Amazon's prices either. But at least I can autograph my books. If you order it from Amazon, it's not autographed. So, and Hoda's Sister, what specifically are you just talking about incontinence there, or do you also talk about the pelvic floor pain?
Yes, I do cover pelvic floor pain, but I don't go into it in really, really deep detail. The idea, I do go into incontinence and the muscles and why women have problems in great detail. The purpose of this book is to give women the information for as many conditions affecting their pelvic floor as possible. And Veronica, the reason I wrote this book, I'd never intended to write a book, but for years my patients kept saying to me, and often they were quite angry, and women would say, why didn't someone tell me all this before? If I'd known this, I wouldn't have got prolapse. So I just had to sit down and write the book. And it's just been the most wonderful thing, the letters and the stories I get from women. It just keeps me motivated to keep on teaching and keep on writing more about the pelvic floor. Because as women, culturally, we know very little in our culture about how to avoid these conditions. Like, Veronica, you think, what did your mother and what did my mother know to tell us about the pelvic floor? Really nothing, because they didn't know anything. So it's time that we bring this information into our female culture so that it gets passed down from generation to generation, just like good recipes do between women.
Yes. Well, the only thing my mother taught me was wash down there really quick. Wash down there, but don't take very long.
Oh, yes.
And notice she called it down there.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It's textbook.
And, you know, I look at my mum, and my mother was the product of Victorian parents, so they were brought up in different times too, weren't they?
Yeah, true, yeah.
My mother, when she delivered her first baby, she told me she had no idea how the baby would come out or what would happen. So we're really lucky today that there is a lot more information available.
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you go back a few thousand years, I think they had way more information because women were in charge of helping women. And I think that's why we're seeing a return to some treatment modalities that do actually work for women and women's bodies, because women are now becoming doctors again. But it's been a long, dark ages for women's health, and they've lost the clitoris and misplaced female ejaculation several times.
Yes. speaking of the clitoris, I was astounded. Last year I was in Cairo for a conference, and the Cairo Women's Association asked me to speak at their annual general meeting. And probably half of the women were expat women, and the other half were upper-class Egyptian women. And
right.
My hostess told me afterwards, and I'm still in shock at this, she said that 90% of Egyptian women are circumcised.
Wow.
I'm still in shock. So, and these women were so, they never stopped asking questions because they were so anxious for information about their body. But how difficult it is for these women, because they've never experienced sexual sensation, and they could have disturbance, they could have contractions around the urethra, where the urine comes out, and all sorts of problems.
Oh, yeah, but just I want to say one thing as a sexologist. I think it's important to note that the human body is pretty resilient when it comes to having sexual sensations. So there are people who are unable to actually achieve anything resembling an erection or an orgasm, who are still quite capable of achieving orgasms. And fortunately for the human body, we're able to generate orgasms just by breathing. You don't even have to have genitals to have orgasms. So that's that's a handy thing to know in case you are circumcised or in other ways disabled as far as your genitals go. Just know that your sex life can always be a very, very beautiful, full experience. But you do have to open your mind to other modalities.
Yes, you're exactly right. And the research about centers related to orgasm in the brain is really interesting, isn't it, what they're coming out with today?
Oh, yeah. There's a great video online. It's called 10 Things You Never Knew About Orgasm, and Mary Roach, she was speaking at the TED conference. And it's awesome. There's this woman who would have an orgasm every time she brushed her teeth. There was another woman who could cause herself to orgasm just by thinking about it.
Wow. How good is that? Well,
it's fabulous.
It makes sense. If you can orgasm in your dream at night, then it could happen during the day just thinking about it, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And fire breath orgasm is a tantric technique which does not require any hands or genitals. You just, but you are using your pelvic floor for a fire breath orgasm because you're actually contracting your PC muscles and using rhythmic breathing techniques. But it takes a little bit longer and an open mind. You have to really be able to relax and allow yourself to get into it. But it generates an orgasm from the base of the spine off the top of your head, so it completely bypasses the genitalia, except for the fact that the pelvic floor is engaged. But.
You know, Veronica, I think you would be interested in some other work I do. I treat a lot of young mums who may have had a difficult second-stage labor, and I've got two young women at the moment, both amazing young women, and one's a psychologist, very intelligent, and because of their prolonged second stage, they were completely incontinent when they came to me. When they walked, they lost urine. But the other thing was that they had lost vaginal sensation and they'd lost their orgasm.
Wow.
And with, of course, retraining pubococcygeus and the pelvic floor, getting this neuromuscular control back again, they have totally not only regained continence, but they've regained their orgasm as well. And, I mean, this is why I work in this field, because it makes such a difference to women's lives.
Absolutely. I mean, well, not only are you helping women to eliminate physical pain, but hopefully, reconnect with their sex lives, which is so important to be a whole human being.
Oh, absolutely. And for the wonderful men who love them as well.
Or women, as the case may be.
All women, absolutely.
We don't know who our listeners are. They could be lesbians, and that's great.
Oh, let's hope so.
So tell us a little more about the incontinence, if you will. I am absolutely astounded to find out that 1 in 4 college students are incontinent. I am just astounded by that, because all of the advertisements, of course, for pads for incontinence, so those diapers or whatever they call them, adult diapers, is always for older people. So I'm just amazed, and you really blew me away with that. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, that's one of the common myths, Veronica, that exists. Just that incontinence is an older woman's problem or an older man's problem. But certainly the rate of incontinence is higher over 55 or 60, but it is still very significant in those younger women. Now, a lot of that, I believe, and this is not research proven yet, but I know from my own clinical work and clinical research that I did, is you mentioned breathing before with relation to orgasm. Well, I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But the girls that I treat, the teenage girls who have urgency or maybe a little bit of urine loss, aren't tightening their pelvic floor muscles first. Now, research shows that when we move, when we do any movement, the very first muscle in our body to tension and hold is the pelvic floor, and along with it, the deep abdominals, the core. And, that's 0.4 of a millisecond before the other muscles move to move us. So these girls often are very high-achieving girls, type A personalities, very intelligent, but they hold a lot of stress around their waist and at the base of their ribs. And when they breathe, they lift their chest up. Because when we breathe, obviously, our abdomen and the base of our ribs are meant to open and expand. Now, why is this a problem? Because the pelvic floor is another diaphragm. It's a lower one. The breathing diaphragm is a huge one. It goes from front to back in our body. Those two diaphragms move together. So if you're breathing in an altered fashion, and there's a lot of breathing disorders out there, if you're breathing correctly, your diaphragm internally does not move up and down to do the work. And if your breathing diaphragm doesn't move up and down, the pelvic floor doesn't have room to move up and down either. Excuse me. So if any young girl or woman has learned to hold their waist really tight, hold a lot of tension there, and this is a really, really common problem with women, then what their body does, it learns to tighten the muscles in there first, often before the pelvic floor muscles tighten. And that causes urgency and will go on to cause loss of urine. These, we do know from research that if a younger woman has these urgency and leaky bladder problems before she has a baby, she's going to be much, much worse after she delivers that baby. We can just predict that. So, you know, in an ideal world, it would be wonderful to check younger women and their muscle patterns and how their tummy and pelvic floor muscles are working and teach them to tighten the pelvic floor muscles first instead of these strong, bracing abdominal muscles. You've probably heard today, and in a lot of the fitness areas and gyms today, women are always told to pull their navel back to the spine. That encourages developing a lot of strength around the waist. And it encourages women to narrow their abdominal cylinder. Well, that's a very destructive habit because it pushes pressure down onto the pelvic floor. And that's where learning to breathe correctly with basal and abdominal expansion is so vital for the normal action of the pelvic floor. And you thought that breathing was just for orgasm, didn't you, Veronica?
I have to tell you, this is like a topic that I would kind of like, oh, this sounds boring. Who wants to talk about pelvic floor, you know, or incontinence? That's for old people. I mean, you know, it just kind of felt very dismissive about this. And then when I started reading, you know, some of the things that you included in your press kit, I was like, what? College students are having problems? 1 in 4, that's very high. And then, of course, I mean, now I'm learning even more, of course, just talking today. I've been holding my stomach in all my life. I thought that's how you build abdominal strength. That's how you build core strength. You hold your stomach in.
Well, partly right. The flattening of your stomach actually comes from lifting up the pelvic floor, because when you draw up the pelvic floor, okay, you can try it now. Sitting there, completely bulge and relax your stomach. Take a breath in where you open the stomach and the ribs. Now, as you breathe out, slowly draw up the pelvic floor. And if you are correctly lifting the pelvic floor, you feel a light drawback at the bikini line. And if you draw up internally further, you should actually feel your waist muscles broaden out a little bit, just firm a little bit. So if you strongly lift the floor, the abdomen should broaden, the waist should actually go a little bit wider and not narrow in. If you put your hands, try something else. If you put your hands really firmly, push them into the side of your waist and cough, you feel your waist widens when you do that action. Now, when you cough and your waist, and the other thing that should happen as the waist widens, the pelvic floor should come up with it. Now, probably...
So is that what we should be doing, is trying to make our waist wider?
Well,
I have no clue. I know how to contract my PC muscles. In the vaginal area, but I don't know what you're talking about, bringing my pelvic floor up. How is that accomplished?
Well, it's the same thing. It's lifting up, tightening and drawing up that PC muscle.
Okay.
It should end up drawing that whole bowl of muscle up.
If women do PC exercises, will this prevent prolapse?
Veronica, if they're doing them effectively... Unfortunately, a lot of women who come to see me say, look, I've been doing pelvic floor exercises for 2 years and they don't work. So I say, okay, let's have a look at what you're doing. 4 out of 10 of those women are actually pushing down. And a lot of women aren't engaging the deeper lift in the pelvic floor.
Oh.
So that's why.
So they're pushing down like... So maybe, you know, when I'm trying to teach PC muscle exercises, I oftentimes tell women and men, both, because both men and women have PC muscles, of course, and there's a lot of benefits for both genders to learn how to have more control over those muscles. For men, it can lead to ejaculation control and sustained sexual activity, and for women, of course, it can lead to, better and stronger orgasms. But I oftentimes tell them, pretend that you are trying not to go to the bathroom, because that's like one of the standard, you know, instructions. Do you think that that causes people to bear down?
If they've got a faulty muscle pattern, they will. I mean, if their brain has learned to switch on the waist muscles, that'll probably cause them to bear down. So that's why I always teach perfect posture. And I sort out any breathing problem first before I teach them their exercises. You know, another good cue I find for a lot of women, I have them lying down, they're very relaxed. As they breathe out, I get them to imagine a needle coming towards their urethra. So as they breathe out, they have to slowly close and slowly draw their urethra and vaginal area away from the needle. I think a lot of women, well, I know a lot of women, try far too hard when they're tightening their PC muscle. It's a slow, gentle action. Initially, Veronica, their brain has to learn what the action feels like, because you can't strengthen a muscle until you know where the muscle is and what it feels like. So this initial identification of the PC is very important. I have a three-step program that I teach now. It's find it, control it, and then train it. And that all relates to the pelvic floor. And what you said before, you said a lot of people find this a boring topic. Well, you know, I do 3 different workshops, and one of them I do is an all-day workshop for women on their pelvic floor. And just, I've got 9 of these booked up before December, and they're nearly always a sellout because women are just fascinated and they really want to know how to overcome these problems. And I've started these workshops just because there are so many women in our country towns who have no access to a women's health physical therapist. So it's great to be able to bring them the information, even if it is.
While you were describing trying to pull your urethra up away from a needle, I was actually experimenting with a different approach to my PC exercises, and I have to admit that felt different. It felt better actually, because there is an upward movement that you can create.
You're good. You're really in touch with your pelvic floor, and when you said it feels different, that highlights a problem. Most women can tighten their anal sphincter and draw that up. They can tighten and lift up the back of their pelvic floor, but they have an imbalance. They can't, and they've lost the ability to draw up the front part of the pelvic floor. And that's the part to focus on for the PC, the front of the pelvic floor. So that's why the needle helps localize that draw up to the front. And when you get that front draw up, then you will feel the tensioning at the bikini line in the lower abdomen, and that's the deep abdominal. So
it feels more erotic, in my opinion, than just like if you're just squeezing. Like I've always done the PC exercises, like I was squeezing on my finger or a penis or a dildo with that kind of action where I'm squeezing it tight. So I wasn't bearing down, but I was really focusing on being able to contract around a cylindrical object. And what you're just describing is more, you know, pulling it up. It actually feels more erotic to me.
Well, it would, because you're getting more tension around your clitoris with that.
Oh. Mm.
But that's what most women have lost, the ability to do that. And once you can identify that muscle, then you can go on to strengthen that.
Well, so, you know, yeah, I've spent quite a bit of time exploring those muscles down there. What would you suggest to our listeners who maybe haven't been in pornos? How can they get in touch with this?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry. I missed a bit of that variety.
Oh, you missed a beat. I said for our listeners who haven't actually been in pornos, they might need a little more instruction on how to find the PC muscles and how to engage them.
Yes. Well, it's what every woman needs to do to learn to find and isolate that PC muscle. That's the start of her getting her pelvic floor working well.
Well, what would you recommend? So women don't learn this the wrong way and bear down. You say a lot of these women are doing their PC exercises, but they're doing them in such a way that they're bearing down, and you want them to pull up. Can you give us some easy to follow instructions on how to tell the difference between bearing down and pulling up?
Well, I think you could certainly tell yourself if you inserted a couple of fingers vaginally, you'd be able to tell whether there was pressure down on your fingers or if it was drawing a little bit up and away from the fingers. That's an easy self-test to do. But I'd encourage any woman to start this lying down very relaxed and to do a lot of deep, easy breathing first. And then when she breathes out, to try to draw up away from the needle and learn that sensation. And then start that incision. But again, be very relaxed around the waist.
And so you've got them pulling up on the pelvic floor when they breathe out.
Always when they breathe out, yes.
Okay.
And then once you've learned it in sitting, do it in standing.
You got them halfway to a fire breath orgasm. Did you know that?
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. The only additional maneuver for a fire breath orgasm is you're laying on the floor. Your feet are flat on the floor, so your knees are bent. And you do contract the PC muscles when you breathe out. And you breathe in through your nose, you breathe out through your mouth. And then the only other move that we have in there is that we tilt the pelvis. So we rock the pelvis back and forth so that first your back, you know, your spine is laying parallel with the floor, and then you tilt the pelvis up so that you're tucking it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how many similarities there are when you talk to the professionals in different areas. Veronica, have you heard of André Rieu? He's the European violinist, and he has this huge, beautiful, big orchestra that he brings all around Europe.
Not enough to speak intelligently about him, but the name's familiar.
Well, I was out at dinner about a month ago, and I sat beside one of the tenors, the men who sings with him. And this man asked me what I did, and usually men just clam up after I tell them what I do. But
that's probably the same showstopper certified sexologist is.
Oh, it's wonderful because really they are very interested.
Of course
but
they are.
He went on to I described to him what I did, and then he went on to describe how he taught his students to sing. And it's exactly the same what I did for the pelvic floor. All the strength in your singing comes from the pelvic floor. So he taught them perfect posture, breathing, and then connecting with their pelvic floor to be able to project the sound out.
Mary, I have a theory. I have a theory that everything in life is about two things, breathing and finding balance. Just almost everything in life seems to come back to those two principles. Balance being, of course, you don't want too much of that and not enough of this. Whatever this and that are. But we're always striving to find, you know, our balance, whether you're playing a sport, you're building a house, you're trying to, you know, win an election, and balance becomes a very, very important thing. And then the breathing, I mean, that is very, very important to reduce stress. The way you breathe affects the acidic level of your body. If you don't breathe properly, you can become too acidic.
Wow.
And then that affects your hormones.
Incredible.
So, the breath is, it's the first thing we do, and it's the last thing we do.
You're right.
In between, we mostly do it wrong.
Yes. And I think for women today, women do take on a lot of stress. And if the woman is a stressful personality, that is stored in their body, particularly around that abdominal waist area. And that's the damaging thing for our pelvic floors, because that's going to result in pressure down on them. And
now, what do you tell your female clients? I'm sorry, what?
We're always trying to flatten our tummies, aren't we? By pulling.
I was just going to say, what do you tell your female clients who are like, I am not going to start walking around with my stomach hanging out? What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that the exercises I'm going to teach them, strengthening the pelvic floor and the deep abdominal is the muscle that flattens your tummy. So it's important to find those core muscles and switch them on. See, when I stand up, I automatically tighten my pelvic floor and deep abdominal and relax my waist a bit. Because if you stand tall and lift up that PC, pelvic floor muscle, your abdomen will flatten. It's a really bad habit. And I think there's a cultural imprinting in women to pull in at the waist, because even from, like, I think it was the 2nd century, they discovered love poems that talked about a woman's beauty being as part of having a small waist. And then how many centuries, like 6 centuries, women were corseted, which is so physically and emotionally, psychologically cruel what was done to women, pulling them into corsets. So we still have this imprinting that our waists are meant to be narrow, that to be attractive, we have to have this small waist.
Absolutely.
I say to my patients, look at a man's abdomen and look at a child's abdomen. They don't have this tightened in waist. It's a much broader waist. So, I think there's a lot of issues that cause us to pull our waist in.
The whole idea that, you know, there's so much pressure on women about the way they look, which I think is just another way to take our core power away from us, so that we're not focused on how we can build alliances with each other. We're not focused on what we can accomplish in this world. Instead, we're, you know, just competing for this imaginary beauty contest.
Yes.
Until we're 80, for God's sake.
Yes.
You know, meanwhile, the men are running around with their turkey necks and their thinning hair. And they've convinced all of us that somehow or another they have character when they age. And I'm thinking, that is a myth. I'm sorry, no offense to Larry King, but there is nothing character about the way Larry King has aged. but there's all this.
I couldn't agree.
I know, but you know, but women are constantly being taught to focus away from their own truth and onto this ridiculous thing, which I'm going to use a term that I just picked up from a Native American friend, domesticated.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be a domesticated. Yeah, he doesn't want to be a domesticated Native American. And, you know, that's the way I feel women. Women are domesticated. And it's like, we need to run wild for a while.
We do, because when you look through history, you see all the different ways women have been controlled, whether it's been by, you know, the ritual centuries of witch burning or the corsets or the foot binding for the Chinese, the circumcision for some women. And this is purely another way of controlling women. I mean, we've got to get smart and savvy to this and be our own people, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of buying into the beauty myth.
Well, you know what? You're helping women to reclaim that. I mean, it really is about reclaiming our entire body. I mean, because, you know, just the very fact that a hysterectomy, you know, the reason we call it a hysterectomy is because women were thought to be hysterical. And the premise was that if you yanked out her reproductive organs, somehow or another she would calm down.
That's right.
And I mean, this is just such a horrible thing. And you think about the routine, you know, C-sections, because a doctor, he wants to hurry up and get the baby out so he can get on to whatever, you know, social function that he's trying to get to. And there's no patience for the time that a woman's body needs. You know, we're selling lubricants instead of teaching men how to do foreplay.
Yes.
A woman's body is supposed to take time to blossom.
Well, it's great the work that women like Ricky Lake is doing with the birthing movement, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had Janelle, who's working on birthing films, and I'm hoping to get some more women. As a matter of fact, if you know anyone that want to do a radio program about birthing, I just think it's hugely important for both the baby and the mother. And there again,
absolutely,
we're talking about that very first breath that you take on planet Earth. You know?
Yeah. And birthing is all about breathing, isn't it, Veronica?
It is. And it's, you know, I've never given birth, but I had a miscarriage, and it was very fascinating to me in between sobs, because, of course, it was a hugely emotional, traumatic thing, and I was very sad.
Yes.
But I was also fascinated to see how my body just took over with its own wisdom and started breathing, whether I wanted to or not. I was thinking, well, I've got to remember to breathe. And it's like, not really. just relax. Your body will have you breathing, you know. And it was interesting. It was like it had its own wisdom. It just caused me to do what I needed to do.
But you're a very wise woman, because you listen to your body and you're in tune with it, Veronica.
I gotta tell you, Mary, it's been a saving grace for me, because the people, as I was growing up, I'm one of those one in four that was sexually abused as a kid, and you could not trust the people around you. They talk out of one side of their mouth and do something entirely different than what they say.
Yes.
Yeah. But,
well, Veronica, do you run workshops for women at all?
I do. Tons of workshops for women.
You know, I would love to connect with you, because I really do want to start running more workshops in the States. You see, I have a beautiful daughter who lives in Brooklyn, so I want to be in the States a lot more.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd love to run my one-day workshop in the States.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that more. We can talk about that after the show. But we're actually getting to the point where we need to wrap this up. So I want to make sure that our listeners know how to find your book and to find you. I would imagine that some people are going to want to send you some emails and ask you some questions. Are you available for that?
Oh, I certainly am. My website is the three W's, and all one word, hold it sister, holditsister.com. And my email is Mary, M-A-R-Y, at holditsister.com. And Hold It Sister is available on Amazon.
And
so
once again,
this
is a book about female incontinence and pelvic floor disorders, and it's for all ages, right?
It is. It covers the young pelvic floor, pregnant pelvic floor, post-baby pelvic floor, gym and the pelvic floor, exercise, surgery, menopause, senior years. So it goes right through the span and the problems that can happen to women. And I think your listeners will be very interested to know that sit-ups are not a good exercise for the pelvic floor.
Oh! Wow! That's a shocker, actually. Very interesting.
I call them an exercise. Well, I call them an exercise virus, because they build up all that strength around those waist abdominal muscles. And every time you sit up, this huge pressure is pushed down onto the pelvic floor, which is why every week without fail, I would have one woman come to me with prolapse as a result of some gym training she's been doing with lots of sit-ups. Because if you can't draw up and hold your pelvic floor firmly while you're doing a sit-up, repeated pushing down on it can eventually lead to a prolapse, unfortunately.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I run another workshop. I do a one-day workshop teaching fitness trainers in Australia about exercise in the pelvic floor. So I'm really, all these areas that I see needed work, that's where I'm going. That's my work for the future.
Well, you know, it's very much needed, and I hope you do bring your workshops over to the States, because I want to take one of them and learn how I can, you know, because I do lots of abdominal exercises and PC exercises, and just what little we talked today, I realized that there's a totally different way of doing my PC exercises, which I had no clue.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you will love it. You'll be surprised. And don't feel bad about that, because I've just come back from London and Ireland. I've been teaching physical therapists over there about all of this as well, just at a high level.
Yeah.
And in every workshop I do for the physical therapists, 50% of them are doing it incorrectly. And that just reflects the general population of women.
Wow. Mary, I think what you're doing is really important, and it's liberating, and I really appreciate the fact, too, that you're tying it into the abuse issues for women, so that, you know, we can start healing ourselves. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to sign off now, but I can't, this just flew by. So a fascinating topic. I learned so much. I hope our listeners did too. And I wish you well. And, later on, let's talk about maybe working together here in the States.
Wonderful. It's been a delight talking to you, Veronica. And thank you for the time you give me. You're right. It has flown.
Yes. Mary, thank you so much, and keep up the good work. Thank you for all that you're doing to help liberate women.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Veronica.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. Yeah.